Hello and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. With the expiry of the 60-day ultimatum on Sunday, Tehran announced the start of the second phase of scaling down its commitments within the JCPOA. Iran has started raising the enrichment level beyond the 3.67% cap as per the nuclear deal, and the IAEA has verified it. Tehran has stated that the measures aim to protect the nuclear deal and can be reversed as soon as the European signatories to the agreement make good on their end of the bargain. Now, there have been mixed reactions to the move. Washington has threatened the Islamic Republic with further sanctions, while Russia and China blame the U.S. for the escalating tensions. We'll explore different aspects of the issue after watching a background report.
Iran's Atomic Energy Organization says the country's level of uranium enrichment has gone well above the 2015 nuclear deal's cap of 3.67% purity and has exceeded 4.5%. This is what Iran is set to continue in the second two-month phase of reducing its commitments under the deal. Iran has also warned that enriching uranium to 20% purity and even above that is one of the options, as Tehran says it won't offer any further deadlines to save the 2015 nuclear deal if the EU fails to fulfill its commitments under the deal. Iran may also consider increasing the number of its centrifuges. Iran, however, noted that Tehran can return to the previous conditions if the remaining signatories to the deal meet their demands in the face of Washington's withdrawal. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has said that the nuclear deal signatories must honor their commitments if they want to salvage the deal.
We appreciate, their effort to save this deal, but we hope that, this deal, be alive and would be alive when they do their commitment and obligations.
Mousavi said the decision to scale back Iran's commitments is in line with two paragraphs of nuclear deal, noting that any further negotiations on the accord will only depend on implementation of its provisions. He called the U.S. withdrawal a blatant violation of the JCPOA, saying Washington can only be included in the negotiations once it puts an end to its, quote, economic terrorism. Some parties to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action have blamed the United States for the new tensions. China says Iran's decision to reduce its commitments is the result of the United States bullying.
What I want to emphasize is that the maximum pressure exerted by the U.S. on Iran is the root cause of the Iran nuclear crisis. The U.S. not only unilaterally withdrew from the agreement, it also used unilateral sanctions and long-arm jurisdiction to create more and more obstacles for Iran and the other parties to implement the agreement.
Russia also said Iran's decision is one of the consequences of Washington's abandoning of the agreement. The European Union said it was extremely concerned by Iran's measures to exceed the uranium enrichment cap and called on Tehran to reverse course. The EU said it will wait for a report from the UN Atomic Energy Agency and consult other signatories to the deal before deciding on future steps. Iran says it remains open to diplomacy to save the deal with world powers, but time is running out fast, as Iran has said that it will not give another deadline to Europe to comply with its obligations when the current one ends on September 5.
Now, let's start putting those questions up for debate. Joining me will be chief editor of the AttackTheSystem.com, Keith Preston from Richmond, Virginia, and author, activist, and journalist Robert Fantina, who's joining us out of Kitchener, Ontario. Good to have both of you with us. Let's begin with Keith. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Mousavi says that today Iran appreciates the efforts of some countries to save the deal, but it has pinned no hope on anyone, nor does it trust anyone. Yet the door of diplomacy is open. You know, Iran has started reducing its commitments after a year that the U.S. left the deal. How much longer should Iran keep the doors of diplomacy open?
Well, we have to consider that the deal has broken down largely because the United States unilaterally abrogated the nuclear deal under the Trump administration. This is a deal that the Trump administration walked away from and simply said they weren't going to honor this agreement anymore. Now, the Iranians did try to continue to maintain the deal in terms of their relationship with the European states, but now it appears that with the seizure of the Iranian tanker by the British, it appears that the Europeans are reneging on the deal as well, in the sense that they've acted in an aggressive manner against Iran. So Iran is in a position of being expected to unilaterally maintain the provisions of the agreement, even though the Americans and now the European states are backing away from the agreements. Now, it also is true that there are some signatory nations that are continuing to press to maintain this agreement, such as Russia, such as China. But increasingly, the deal is breaking down on an international level, and it's largely or solely due to the fact that the Western powers, particularly the United States, have largely simply abrogated the deal. So the Iranians, when they began to increase their uranium production, they were within the bounds of the treaty. They were actually within the bounds of the agreement. Now that the agreement has largely been abrogated by external powers, Iran is in a position of either having to unilaterally comply with the terms or simply go their own way. And it appears that Iran is increasingly going its own way.
Of course, Iran is going its way based on the provisions of the deal of Articles 26 and 36. Robert, Iran has asserted if the remaining countries in the deal, especially the Europeans, do not facilitate sale of Iranian oil and banking operations, then Iran's third step in 60 days will be stronger and maybe somehow stunning. Could this push the Europeans to fulfill their pledges and save the deal?
It certainly should. The European nations have to stand up to the United States, which is to blame for this entire fiasco that we're seeing now. They need to stand up and say, yes, we're going to continue to trade with Iran. We are going to maintain the agreement that was signed in 2015. It was a good agreement, and it benefited everybody. Is the United States unilaterally withdrawing from it that caused these problems? Not only the United States withdrawal, but the United States threatening sanctions against the other signatories to the agreement, making them stop trading. So this has been the whole problem. Whether or not the European countries will stand up to the U.S. and defy the U.S. and maintain the agreement remains to be seen, but I'm not hopeful. They have had over a year now since the U.S. withdrew from the agreement to find some way of circumventing the possible U.S. sanctions. They have not done so. Iran is acting in complete international legitimacy and legality by no longer maintaining its part of the agreement. Once the U.S. pulled out and the other nations stopped complying, Iran was no longer in the obligation to do so, although it did, out of good faith, for a period of 1 year.
Now, Keith, Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif says that the B team has fooled President Donald Trump into killing the Iran nuclear deal and negotiating another one, while the current deal is the best one that Washington can get. Let's have your comments on that.
Well, the deal that was worked out in 2015 by the Obama administration was an excellent deal. There's nothing at all that was wrong with that particular set of agreements. It's regrettable that the United States simply chose to walk away from the agreement under the Trump administration. And I think that perhaps even more regrettable is the fact that the European nations now have been acquiescent to the pressure that the Americans have exercised on them and walked away from the agreement as well. It's in the best interest of all parties concerned, the rational self-interest of all of the different signatory nations of the deal, for the Americans and for the European states to come back into the agreement, honor the terms of the agreement. Iran was in compliance with every bit of the agreement to the letter until the abrogation process started under the Trump administration. As was pointed out earlier, Iran continued to honor the provisions of the agreement for a full year, even after the deal was unilaterally abrogated by the United States. But now that the Americans are using their international influence to essentially pressure the Europeans to ignore the terms of the deal as well, as was pointed out earlier, Iran, under the actual terms of the agreement, is now within their rights to abrogate the agreement as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robert, a European financial mechanism to circumvent U.S. sanctions known as INSTEX, that just became operational after much delay, only focuses on the non-sanctioned goods. Now, Iranian officials are saying that it won't benefit the country unless credit lines are allocated and sale of crude is facilitated. Is this a show to just keep Iran in the deal?
It is. It's some half-hearted effort on the part of the other European nations to try to show some semblance of good faith, but it isn't enough. It doesn't provide Iran with the financial and economic benefits that the JCPOA promised. This is really, really nothing. It's almost an insult to offer this when it doesn't include any of the sanctioned items. The people of Iran need to trade and want to trade with the rest of the world. The rest of the world, through the JCPOA, through the signatories of JCPOA, agreed to this, and now the other countries have violated it. This is entirely the fault, excuse me, of the United States, with complicity with the other European signatories of the agreement.
Right. Keith, Washington unilaterally withdrew from the Iran deal more than 13 months ago. It's no more in the deal. So is it in a position to complain to the IAEA Board of Governors and ask for an emergency session about Iran's violation of the deal that it's left a long time ago?
Well, clearly claims of that type are a farce, and they're only being used solely for the purpose of gaining international leverage in terms of being able to, for the United States to be able to lean on its allied nations by making an exaggerated claim of that type. There's simply no way that a claim like that could be upheld with according to any kind of objective analysis. It appears that unless the Americans actually go back to the deal, that the deal is probably more or less finished, the 2015 deal. Probably the only hope there would be that if Mr. Trump were to lose the election next year and a new administration were to come in, that would resume the American participation in the 2015 agreement. It's probably about the only way that this deal is going to be saved.
Now, Robert, why do you think the U.S. is doing this? I mean, asking for an emergency session by the Board of Governors of the IAEA in which it wants to raise Iran's violation of the deal. What is it violated the deal a long time ago?
This is
well, looks like we got some sound problem. We'll try to fix that and go back to Robert at a later time. Let me go to Keith again. Keith, presidents of France and Iran just recently talked over the phone, and they agreed in setting the stage for a new round of talks regarding the nuclear deal. Now, the U.S. is interested to pitch in. Tehran says that Washington can join the talks on the implementation of the deal only if it lifts the unilateral sanctions. Would the U.S. do that?
Well, it's very unlikely that the United States is going to lift any sanctions. The United States has actually been pushing for stronger sanctions against Iran and has, in fact, imposed stronger sanctions against Iran in recent years. We have to understand that the motivations of the Americans is not simply to prevent nuclear proliferation. That's not really the issue. For example, Israel has 200 nuclear weapons, and Israel has never even recognized the non-proliferation treaty. And yet, no one has ever said anything about that. What the Americans are trying to do is force regime change in Iran. They're trying to use the sanctions as a weapon, essentially an act of economic terrorism against the people of Iran. And by doing that, they're trying to force the people of Iran to engage in an uprising and overthrow their own government. That's what the purpose of the sanctions are. The nuclear proliferation issue is just simply a smokescreen issue and always has been. Iran does not and has never had a nuclear weapons program or anything approximating it. In fact, nuclear weapons development is actually illegal in Iran. It was actually banned in a fatwa issued by the Ayatollah Khomeini decades ago as a violation of Islamic law. So the nuclear weapons issue is just simply the nuclear proliferation issue is a smokescreen issue. Iran has made an effort to develop nuclear power for the purpose of providing the Iranian nation with things like electricity and as an energy source, which Iran is in need of additional energy sources due to their expanding population and issues of that kind. So the nuclear weapons, nuclear proliferation issue has never been anything more than a smokescreen issue that's used to exercise pressure on Iran for the goal of trying to generate regime change. And we have to understand the role of other powers in the Middle East in proliferating this situation. One of those is the role of Israel and the relationship between the United States and Israel. The United States is essentially doing Israel's work for it. The regime of Benjamin Netanyahu has repeatedly called for regime change in Iran, has repeatedly called for a war between the United States and Iran. Recently, when Donald Trump declined to engage in direct military action against Iran, the government of Israel was extremely disappointed by that, as was the government of Saudi Arabia. The government of Saudi Arabia, the government of Israel have both been pressuring the United States to engage in direct military attacks on Iran. Those two countries are both using their relationship with the United States to pressure the United States to maintain the sanctions, to escalate the sanctions, to abrogate the nuclear deal, to use the Iranian people essentially as hostages for the purpose of forcing regime change within Iran. Because the Saudis and the Israelis regard the Iranians as their primary geopolitical rivals in the region. And they're trying to use their relationship with the United States in order to advance their own geopolitical interests.
Yep. Robert, we unfortunately had this technical problem. We lost your voice. Let's have your comments on that. And also the fact that, as Keith said, that the U.S. is seeking a regime change. Donald Trump once said that, and once he changed his mind the other day, you know, he got up in the morning and had another tweet and saying that, no, we don't want regime change. We have no problem with the current leadership. We just don't want a nuclear Iran.
Yes, the as your other speaker mentioned, the idea of a nuclear Iran is not the issue. Israel has nuclear weapons that have never been addressed. Israel has a violent racist government that is currently oppressing a population of millions of people, and the United States doesn't say anything about that in objection to it, just supports and finances it. So the idea is that, the idea for the United States, the true idea, is that Iran cannot be a powerful nation. It is growing in power and influence and has been for a number of years, and that is a competitor to Israeli power in the Middle East, and the United States, because of the relationship between the U.S. and Israel, will not allow that, or will attempt not to allow that. The United States has an ugly history with Iran. The overthrow of the government in 1953 and the installation of the Shah, who was a brutal oppressor for nearly 30 years, had complete U.S. support. But the people did overthrow that government and brought in the government of their own choosing that the United States has never approved of. And if the United States doesn't approve of a people's choice, it will sanction it, bomb it, otherwise commit acts of terrorism against it. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, Keith, after Iran's announcement of the second phase of reduction of its commitments in the nuclear deal, the Israeli Premier Netanyahu was quick to blame Europe for that and repeated the false allegation of Iran seeking nuclear bombs. If Tel Aviv is worried about world security, if the U.S. is also, why doesn't it come clean about its nuclear arsenal and sign the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty in the first place?
Well, Israel has amassed hundreds of nuclear weapons. It's estimated that Israel possesses about 200 nuclear weapons at this point. Israel has never recognized the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel has been completely indifferent to the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty. Israel simply does not want any nation in the Middle East to possess, certainly to possess nuclear weapons, but more than that, they don't want any nation that can serve as a geopolitical rival of any kind. That's the reason we see Israel's hostility to Iran, just as we saw Israel's previous hostility to Syria, to Libya, to Iraq, all of these nations in which the United States has either successfully or unsuccessfully carried out regime change. All of this is about geopolitical rivalries between Israel and its neighbors. Israel has 200 nuclear weapons. It has a first world military. It has a first world economy. It's a very powerful state. And it's also a very expansionist state that recently annexed the Golan Heights, continues to expand into the West Bank, continues to attack Gaza, continues to engage in incursions into Lebanon, into Syria, and so forth. So Israeli expansionism is really the objective here. Israel has no interest in peace in the region, nor does Saudi Arabia, that are is increasingly moving closer and becoming aligned with Israel, along with the other Gulf states like the UAE and others. And of course, these nations, Saudi Arabia, Israel, have very powerful lobbies in the United States. They exercise a great deal of influence over the American government. Likewise, those nations are major export markets for American arms manufacturers. They're a guaranteed export arms market for American arms manufacturers that's actually underwritten by American taxpayers. So this symbiotic relationship exists between the United States, between Saudi Arabia, and in Israel. And that's the real defining aspect of the geopolitical situation in the region. And Iran is viewed as an obstacle to the ongoing expansion of these powers.
Robert, you can also have 30 seconds for your final comments.
I think that the situation is tragic and is leading to a possible disaster. If the United States does not rejoin the JCPOA, or at least cease its threats against the other signatories, the economic threats, then this could escalate badly for not only the Middle East and the United States, but Europe and much of the world. I think that we need to see some reasonable spokespeople from the United States doing something positive about this, but I don't see that happening, unfortunately.
Okay. And then we come to the end of this debate. I'm Bryce Seville. Let me thank our guests. We're chief editor of theattackedassistant.com, Keith Bryson, who joined us from Richmond, Virginia, and also author, activist, and journalist Robert Fantina out of Kitchener, Ontario. Thank you for watching this program. We'll see you soon.